Welcome to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. I'm Justine Toe.
I'm Simon Smart.
Well, what we're going to talk about today can be, for all of us, both a source of great joy and satisfaction, but, let's face it as well, also a crushing failure and defeat. I'm talking about work. Now, work is, of some kind or another, is a reality for all of us, and it affects our lives, our sense of who we are, and it can greatly impact on the people that we love. So work really matters a great deal to us. And we're delighted to have Cara Martin in the studio with us. She's the Associate Dean of the Marketplace Institute, and this is a place where people can think through how matters of faith affect how we think about work. Is that a fair summary, Cara?
That's a wonderful summary. We call it bridging the Sunday-Monday divide, assuming that most people would express their faith on a Sunday or on the weekend and then have to go to work on the Monday. How do you actually make that leap?
Work can be enjoyable if you're fortunate enough to have work that you love, but it can also be back-breaking and unpleasant and sort of soul-destroying in some contexts. How do you make sense of that struggle with work and our conflicted attitudes towards it?
I love that in South America, the word for work is actually to interrupt pleasure, which is... And I think in Australia, work is seen as, you know, something you have to do that you don't really enjoy. However, I think there's been a real transition, especially over the last 30 years, as work has become less backbreaking, as it were, like physically hard. It has become more and more an important part of our lives. And as also community has broken down, neighbourhoods have broken down, I think we've started investing a lot more in work. So I think in the end now, work has become a really essential part of our lives.
What is your personal interest in that area? Like, how have you come to start thinking, hey, I need to think about connecting these two?
Probably the biggest challenges came to me with my first really full-on job, which was as a TV journalist. I came across issues all the time. They were basically ethical issues about who I interviewed, how I interviewed, what sort of material went to air. And I was constantly having to make decisions. And I was realising that in terms of a structure to in which to make those decisions, the thing I fell back to all the time was my faith. My faith wasn't shared by my news director. So there were often moments of great conflict where I felt quite strongly about what the ethical position was in something and that was disagreed with. And I guess that's the point at which I realised how disempowered I was at that point, that someone else could make decisions about my work, and which I could do nothing about. That was a very frustrating process, and I wanted to explore a lot more about how to become more integrated in some of those things.
We're talking about faith and work with Cara Martin. Cara, we live in a time where people seem to say things like, look, it's okay for you to have your faith, but just keep it private. You know, leave it at home. Don't bring it into, for instance, places like your workplace. Mm-hmm. How do you respond when you hear that sort of thought?
Unless we bring all we have to bear as people, all the best of our intelligence, the best of our passion, the best of our gifts, and the best of our faith into that room, we're actually selling ourselves short in terms of what we can actually deliver.
Can you walk us through how you might go about making those kinds of connections between faith and work, let's say?
As Christians, we know that God is working in us to actually change who we are into new people, people of integrity and truth, people who have a compassionate edge. So all the best things we see in the person of Jesus are things that God is trying to turn us into, and that's a huge incentive to have when you're in a boardroom, actually coming to bear, questioning decisions and the consequences of those decisions, and also the reality of how those decisions are actually being made, the processes of those decisions being made. But also I think our faith sustains us when things get hard, when tempers frayed or people are tempted to go to ego and respond in ego. If you've got a faith basis where you can just experience the peace that comes from that deep faith, that helps you to be able to stay calm in those sort of situations, not to be carried away by ego or stress, and to make much better decisions.
Now, Cara, you mentioned ethics. I can imagine sometimes someone's faith might, in other people's minds, make a really good contribution. It might hopefully draw them towards, you know, more passion for the job, honesty, maybe integrity, but it might also get in the way, right? If you're got issues about decisions that are made that might be heading towards profit, and you're saying, no, we've got an integrity issue here and we might have to sacrifice some profit, I can imagine people who don't share your faith finding that annoying.
It could be annoying, but I think even that discussion would lead to a much better decision. I think in light of the global financial crisis, with so many companies feeling the pressure and going under, a lot of analysis has gone on, and actually there's a move way beyond influenced by Christianity, which is about trying to get more virtuous business cultures. That's a term that's becoming more and more popular because they're realising that a lot of decisions were made on short-term gain. Some decisions were made thinking there aren't going to be bad consequences from this. And the reality was that no one could foresee all the different things and decisions that were going to lead to quite horrific consequences, the consequences that we're still seeing going on and on throughout the world. So there's a bit of a move to say, well, we need to take a step back from that and really question things a lot more, examine things more deeply. And if you've got someone who's in the room prepared to ask those hard questions and have that discussion, once again, I think you're going to get a much better decision and outcome.
You take a long-term view of these things and the outcomes are likely to be better.
Absolutely. And I think also that the whole issue of only making decisions based on dollars is beginning to be questioned as well. What's happening in boardrooms is they're beginning to think about the other things they have to take into consequence. Part of that has been driven by the carbon tax, that there's a much more greater sensitivity to the environment and making decisions not just based on the profit, but what's the impact on the environment. There's also becoming more and more an awareness of the need to think through the social consequences too. And I wouldn't be surprised if we begin to see an evaluation, a social impact evaluation that needs to be made in decisions as well. And I think, once again, that's actually a much more realistic outcome, because sometimes what happens is decisions are made for which the community suffers, the community pays. So ultimately, someone's going to pay for it.
Now, in that vein, you know, all of us want to achieve a work-life balance, and all the more so because we have technologies that allow us to take our office anywhere we want with us. Now, so does this discussion of how work and faith fits together, does that have anything to offer?
Just as we have a God who created us to work and do good work, we have a God who rested. And I think that rhythm of work and rest is actually really important. For a while, we've tried to deny that. In the past, we were just physically exhausted in our work and we couldn't continue working. Now that we're knowledge workers, it's easier for us to go harder and harder. But people are realising the impact of doing that is obviously not good on the body as well, eventually. So we have a lot of people who are just burnt out. They're stressed and they can't keep going. And I think the issues that companies are facing is that you can't keep burning out people. For a while, there's been sort of another supply of workers, but there's not always a great supply of workers. So I think organisations are becoming more aware of this and trying to think of more creative ways of being able to help people. If we have that sense of our faith as an important thing, what we're doing is we're not just living to work anymore. We're actually living to serve God first and serve God through our work. But we accept that there's a limit there, that we're not going to completely burn ourselves out for the work, because ultimately there is no great value in that. All you do is end up serving someone else and you just exhaust yourself and there's not much left at the end. And the reality is that organisations are not hugely loyal to their people. I remember the story of a friend of mine. Her dad used to slave himself to work and it really impacted on the relationships within the family. And he retired after a while and there was a great deal of celebration. And for a while there, he kept going past his workplace and he'd feel a great sense of pride that he devoted his whole life to that workplace. And then one day he went past and the factory was completely rubble. It'd been sort of broken down and then now there's just flats there. And I remember him saying to his daughter, what have I done? How much did I give up for that workplace that no longer exists at all? And how much more should I have poured into my family?
People's whole identities can be caught up with their work, and that can be good if you like your work, but what if you don't? Or what if you lose your job?
Yeah, it really hit me that when you meet someone, you say, what do you do, is almost the first question. But it hadn't hit me before, but I realise now that when we respond, we tend to say, I am. So instead of saying, I do, you know, this or that, describe it in activities, we actually take on our job as our identity. I am someone who works at this institute. I am a lecturer. It's something that becomes inherent in who we are. I think that's a very dangerous thing, and where combining work and faith is important is that our identity is always beyond just what our work is. That's very important. I have a friend in Melbourne who I met with who was a really high-powered businesswoman. I was looking forward to meeting up with her. She was made redundant just a few months ago, and the whole process has been completely shattering to her because she said, I am redundant. And that's how she felt.
Defines her.
That's right. She was no longer useful to society because she was no longer in that job. And she said people's attitudes towards her changed. Her whole sense of self had changed so horrifically that it was a real struggle for her to then reinvent herself as such. So these are really deep issues, and I think it's a great danger that we need to sort of challenge all the time. You are not your job.
On a more positive aspect to this is the notion of vocation or calling, which should not just be limited to your job, but it's part of that, isn't it? That's a very Christian concept, vocation.
I think that's a very helpful corrective, because if you have a sense of calling, it's not just to something, but it's a call from someone. So if you see your work as part of your calling, then you can't escape the fact that it is God who does the calling. And in that case, you may be called to do something for a while, but then God may call you to do something else. So it turns the focus from being completely at the work. I think one of the things in Christian circles that we've sort of messed up a little bit is that we thought that people could only be called to do full-time Christian work or paid Christian work. That's something that I would want to challenge. And certainly, I mean, even Martin Luther challenged that and said that God can call you to do whatever you do. The important thing is to work for it as if you're working for God. This is part of your worship of God. So I think that if we get a wider sense of calling, that can help protect us from investing everything in our work or seeing it as different to our Christian life. And it can remind us that we're doing this as part of our worship and service of God.
Now, I wonder, because you've been thinking about these sorts of matters for a long time now, I wonder what you would say to your former TV journalist self. You know, how could you walk us through perhaps what you might say to that person to encourage them to think through how their faith could impact upon their work?
I think actually I was a little bit chicken in that job. I didn't stand up as much as I could have and should have, I think. So there were times when I just submitted to the authority of my news director, and I did things that I would now regret in terms of what I was prepared to allow to go onto the TV screen, the ways that I would chase someone down to interview and so on. I regret some of those things. I felt really powerless as a worker, but I think if I hadn't thought that this was the job and if I ruined this, I would never work again. That was sort of the idea I had. I had to grasp this job and it had to be the most important thing to me. I think I would have stood up a little bit more and had a bit more courage of my convictions. I think the other thing that was very interesting was that my husband said I changed as a person during that time, because I got sucked into the whole lifestyle of that and a bit of the sort of the glamour and the ego. I found it hard to see it at the time, but in retrospect, I realised I was a real pain in the butt at that time. And I wasn't a very nice person. I had become subtly changed by the community I was hanging around with, And the way that it just flattered my ego, I was prepared to do that. So I think I would have a lot of correctives now that my understanding has deepened. I would be able to begin to see those signals a bit clearer, and I would be reminding myself every day that I'm serving God in my work primarily, not the person that I report to.
Now part of your calling is to help other people to think up how work and faith fits together, and we're really glad to have you on the program. Thanks, Cara.
Thank you.